This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi. Truth in engineering.
Well, Mike Trosel is the senior curator and historian for the USGA Museum. And as both the men's and women's U.S. Opens approach, it's a pleasure to have Mike Trosel on the Augusta Golf Show for the very first time. Hello, Mike.
John, thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm ready for June and the U.S. Opens.
What's the neatest thing in the museum right now?
That's a big question, John. Starting me off with a wide-ranging one here.
What's the neatest thing to you?
I think the most special thing that we have here, the most unique thing, is the Moon Club, the club used by Admiral Alan Shepard on the surface of the moon. You know, we have a lot of great artifacts from great golfers over the years, from Bob Jones to Ben Hogan to Nicholas to Palmer to Tiger Woods, but there's only one club that we have on this earth here that's gone to the moon, and that one's downstairs. And it's really a cool story how, you know, Shepard was a big golf fan, and he actually took an instrument used for collecting moon rock samples and was able to fashion a 6-iron head to it, smuggle it up aboard with him on the Apollo 14 spacecraft with a couple of golf balls. And once all the experiments were done, he hit some golf shots up there and won 6th gravity. And as he famously said, they went for miles and miles.
So NASA didn't know he did that?
Well, they didn't know he was bringing it up.
Okay.
Once he got up there, he cleared it with a few people and said, if nothing goes wrong, I'd like to do this. And nothing went wrong in that mission. So they said, sure, why not? It'd be kind of a cool thing to do, and gave everyone a laugh. And I'd say the people who were the most surprised were when he came back, he donated it to the USGA through Bing Crosby, who was on our museum committee back in 1974 at the U.S. Open. We were at Wingfoot. And about 20 years later, in the mid-90s, Shepard got a call from the Smithsonian, the Air and Space Museum down in Washington, D.C. And they said, you know, Admiral Shepard, do you have that club that was on the moon? We'd like to have it for our museum. And he said, well, no, I gave it to the USGA. And there was a long pause on the other end of the line, and they said, well, you know that's government property. And his quip back was always that, can you believe they spoke to an admiral like that? So we have the original Moon Club here in the USGA, and they now have a replica down at the Air and Space Museum in Washington.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
How tough is it sometimes for a winner to part with a piece of history? When you ask them for a piece of memorabilia for the museum, is it sometimes tough for them to say, here's my 3-wood?
No question. It obviously varies from champion to champion. You know, we asked Lydia Ko a couple of years ago when she won the women's amateur if she'd be willing to give us something, and she sent us her putter. You know, I know if I had just been, you know, I think she was the first amateur in, you know, maybe 30 years to win an LPGA event, and then she won the women's amateur. I'm not sure I'd be so quick to give up, you know, the putter I used for that, but she was fine. She had the confidence to move on. You know, other people are a little hesitant and will say, you know, feel free to hold on to it for now, but if you are thinking of donating it or selling it or giving it away, you know, think of us first. And then I guess the last thing, it's a pretty funny story from the senior amateur a couple of years ago, a guy who won by the name of Mike Bell, I think it was in 2006. He used a putter all week that was great, donated his putter to us, gave us a call about 5 years later and said, you know, Mike, I haven't been able to putt the same. I haven't been able to recapture that magic since I gave you the putter. Is there any way I can get it back? So we talked him out of that. But you know, as you say, there are certainly some artifacts that are tough for champions to let go of.
See, I think that story would happen often.
Yeah, we'll bet a few calls.
I loved that three wood. Can I get that three wood back? This year's men's U.S. Open will be the third at Pinehurst number two in just 15 years. That's a pretty good rotation. Is there a story as to why it took a long period of time for the Open to come to Pinehurst? And now, what is it about Pinehurst that makes it so attractive?
Well, I'm not sure exactly the history behind why it took so long to get there. I know they had the ownership of Pinehurst was in flux for a few years, but you know they held the Tour Championship there in the early 1990s, and we held the Senior Open there in 1994. And I think through that we started to see that this course was really an exceptional course, you know, which we've known for years,
sure.
But that the community down there was ready for it. And by the time 1999 came around, it was just one of our best U.S. Opens. You know, not just from a championship standpoint, in which we had a great finish with Payne Stewart and Phil Mickelson, but just the total operation, how it was run, the community support, the fans, and everything like that. You know, it was really terrific. So that was fantastic. And then we came back 6 years later, in 2005, and you know, believe it or not, that 6 year span is the shortest since pre-World War I. So we loved it so much in 99, came back 6 years later, and then this year obviously will be the third time in 15 years. And, you know, talking to Mike Davis, one of the most appealing things about Pinehurst is it's a course that makes the players think. You know, when you're around those green complexes, you need to think. Do you bump it into the bank? Do you flop it up there? Are you going to putt it up there? You know, it's even from, there's no rough this year. First time since before World War II, there'll be no rough out in the course. And that kind of brings in the unknown, the rub of the green. You know, you can have a good shot at the green if you miss a fairway, or you may have to chip out backwards. You know, it can bring birdie into play, but it can also bring double and triple bogey into play. So I think it'll be one of the more exciting U.S. Opens, and certainly one of the reasons that we wanted to go back.
We are talking with Mike Trosel, the senior curator and historian for the USGA, as the U.S. Opens are upon us. The Pinehurst number two we're going to see for this year's Open, as you mentioned, is very different than the course on which Payne Stewart and Michael Campbell won. Can you think of another time, Mike, when a U.S. Open venue has undergone such a renovation?
Well, that's a pretty good question, and you know, probably not as extreme as this. You know, Oakmont took out a lot of trees between 1994 and 2007.
Yeah.
That being said, you know, I don't think the course played a whole lot different than that. So I'd say this is probably one of those years where, you know, just down at the Masters this year, there's no Eisenhower tree on the 17th hole, where you kind of look at the course and say, hey, this is a lot different. But we're excited about it. You know, the old USGA U.S. Open course setup for the Opens were always, you know, narrow fairways, tall rough, firm and fast greens for so many years. And you know, I think in the last few years and the few years coming up, we're going to see some courses that get away from that a little bit. And not to say that that's not a great way to play the championship, but just to show that this is our national championship. It's played at courses across the country, and there's all sorts of different kinds of courses. And to try and pigeonhole one style of course into what is a quote-unquote U.S. Open course just doesn't make sense. You know, these great courses like Chambers Bay will be at next year, looks probably more like a British Open course, or Pinehurst this year with no rough, that can really test the best players in the world. So I think we're excited to have, you know, a varied look to our U.S. Open courses.
We talked about the participants donating items. This year's women's U.S. Open at Pinehurst number two almost starts with some history, with Lucy Lee, 11 years old, competing. Do you ask for something from her?
Or her mom, right?
Or her mom, yeah.
Yeah,
she may not. Why are you giving that away, Mom?
So, you know, yeah, Lucy is great, and she was a participant and a winner of the drive, chip, and putt down in Augusta this past year. So, you know, we're excited that she's in the field. As a 10-year-old last year, she played in the U.S. Women's Amateur Public Links and played very well. And so we're excited to see what she can do. It's hard to believe an 11-year-old this year. You know, it'll be interesting to see if, you know, she's paired with someone like a Julie Inkster or a Laura Davies that, you know, could be old enough to be her grandmother.
Careful.
Or her mother.
Careful there, Mike.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you something about your previous position. I noticed in your bio, you ran golf tournaments that secured funding for ALS research, for Lou Gehrig's disease. what is it about the game of golf? Why does it seem to want to give back so much?
Well, it's such a great game that, you know, so many people want to be involved in, and it's a great game of people. You know, I think that the way I learned playing the game was through caddying and through walking with people, and it's just a great game where people want to help each other out. You know, it's a great fundraising tool. It's great if you can get a nice day and some food and some drinks and to sit outside and to spend 4 or 6 hours, you know, raising money for a good cause. And it's also a game that, you know, you can play well into your 50s, 60s, 70s. You know, it's sort of timeless. So I think that makes it a really good vehicle for, you know, raising funds for really worthy causes like Lou Gehrig's disease.
He is Mike Trosel. He is the senior curator and the historian at the USGA Museum with the opens at Pinehurst right around the corner. Mike, thanks for taking the time to do this.
John, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.